everybody. I'm Jane.
And I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to the Medium Curious Podcast, the show that brings the seance to science.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So good. And today, I'm so excited about our guest, Karen Crawford. She left her job as a ER physician to become an astrologer. And she's also a medium. So let's meet her.
She's a joy to talk to. So
she's Dr. Joy for sure.
Dr. Joy. We're excited for y'all to meet her too. Here we go.
So we have you here, Karen. I'm so excited. You are a medical ER doctor. As opposed to an unmedical ER doctor.
The medical kind. We love those kind.
Yeah. How long were you an ER doctor?
Well, I graduated medical school in 2003, and then I graduated residency in 2006. So I practiced for 17 years.
Wow. Yeah. You don't look old enough to do anything for 17 years.
Nope. Oh, I love you guys.
I'm just saying.
True.
For anyone on the YouTube, they'll say, like, totally, she's gorgeous. She was a doctor for 3 years.
Yeah.
But anyway.
You also were a doctor throughout COVID too, right?
Yes. That was the final straw. There were like warning lights before COVID, but I think COVID was like, yeah, you're done. And I'm like, okay, no problem.
I bet. That's an easy one to realize you're stuck.
I want to hear about the warning lights. Like you built this massive career, which is highly respected in the world. And I imagine burnout is very real, especially in COVID. But what kind of was presenting to you before COVID said, get out? Like, how did you know that? And where did you think you were going when you decided to get out?
Well, I was vice chair of the emergency department, and part of my job was to do like quality control. So in medicine, we have like standards. Like, you want to have somebody with chest pain getting an EKG within 10 minutes. Perfect. I get it. Long bone fracture, pain medicine within an hour. Like, all these, there's like, you know, maybe 8 or 9 different metrics the hospital has to do. And the emergency department is basically a black hole, because you never know how many sick patients you're going to get. You know, are you getting patients up to their rooms and things like that? So I started to really burn out because I was on like the pharmacy and therapeutics committee. I was working full time. I had these other responsibilities. And I'm like, you know, and I started to realize too, from my own practice, was like, there's a lot of people I couldn't help. Like, if you're having a stroke or a heart attack, or you have appendicitis, like, all those things, or you need like your nail, you know, I can sew you up, right? But a lot of my patients were patients with like, you know, chronic abdominal pain for 2 years, or, you know, they have fibromyalgia, and like, people were not giving them answers. So they come see me out of frustration, and I'm like, gosh, I can't really help these people. So I felt like maybe 20% of the people, I'll get you where you need to go, let's fix it, we got this. But then like, so many of those patients, I'm like, wow. And I felt like the healthcare system was failing them in some way, and also myself in a way, because you just don't have the time or the resources to devote to people. So all these things kind of came together. It's like around 2017-ish. And I was in my Subaru. I was driving home from a night shift, and the car lost traction. And I'm like, you know what? If I go off, it's fine. I don't care if I die right now. Like, it's okay. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be better than working and doing what I'm doing right now. And when I realized I had that thought, it was like, you know, you got to do something
That's
different.
That's a wake-up call.
Oh, it was a total wake-up call. And it was sad, because you're right. You know, you put so much work into this. And by the time you see, about 7 years after graduation, you've seen about 10,000 patients if you're working in a general community place. So you're starting to get like your expert level. So like you with your musician career, like, you kind of know when you're hitting those pieces and you get the expertise. But it's like, okay, I'm finally kind of good at what I do, and now I have to leave. You know, what am I going to do, kind of a thing. So then the next couple of years, so I end up going to Canaan Ranch, which is in Tucson, Arizona. My husband suggests. So my husband is really the reason why I had a spiritual awakening. I qualified for Boston in 2012, but I didn't get to run because the bombings happened. They had to like bring you in by how fast you run the marathon to like 20 minutes you get to do the first week, like 10, 15 minutes the second week, third week, whatever. So I qualified, but I didn't get in. So it's always been a monkey on my back. So I ended up not qualifying. So my husband's like, well, how about we go to this place in Arizona instead? I'm like, all right. And when I was there, I met a woman.
What's it called?
Canyon Ranch. It's in Tucson, okay. Arizona. They have like one in Massachusetts. They have one on a cruise ship. I mean, it's basically like a wellness ranch. They're like the person who designed this, first person to actually do like a wellness place for people. And looking at food and sleep. And so like the nerdiest, most amazing people are there that do like lectures on exercise science and sleep disorders. And you can get your body fat figured out in an egg, and you can learn yoga. Wow. You can go hiking in the saguaro desert. I mean, like a million things to do there. Right. And when we were scheduling our trip, like our stuff with a person like that, you go to like a person who like, basically like you're at camp and you get to pick what you want to do as your activities, like extra stuff. So this woman was scheduling us, and we were walking out, and the lady at the front desk stopped me, and she's like, well, you know, did you look at the tarot reading with Leslie Lupo? And I'm like, no, I didn't. Should I? And she's like, oh, you totally should. Cause I'm like, I don't really want a tarot reading. I mean, whatever. I wasn't into that stuff yet. And the reading I have with Leslie Lupo is 100% why I'm sitting here with you right now. Like she was.
Oh my God. I love it.
Opened my eyes. And it wasn't like a tarot reading. Cause she reads the cards intuitively. Like she knows what the cards mean, obviously, but it was just like, she just, I could feel my body like vibrating. And it was just like, and I walked out of there and I felt like I could run to the moon and back. I was so energized. I was so excited. And I was like, okay, everything's going to be okay. I'm going to figure this out. Like I'm here for something even bigger than this. Like this is helping people and wanting to be a doctor and take care of people is one way to do this, but there's another way to help people heal and like stuff like that. So that's kind of where that started.
Mind blown. That's amazing.
Healing part two. Thanks to a tarot reader. Amazing.
Well, so much more than that. She's a mystic. She has a book out called Remember Every Breath is Precious. She was an NDE survivor. And and she does reading. I think she still does readings. She's not at Canyon Ranch anymore. I think she retired like a year, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, 2 years ago. But she's amazing. Her book is amazing. So I highly recommend it. And her book found Suzanne Giesman.
Okay. So you're pulling the thread. So you were gifted this mystic who was probably like way above the scope of what was even happening at that super cool place. Do you know what I mean? Like, like she sounds like she's so high level and rad. And then she's like hanging out at the wellness place, which is fun. And, but how she started your journey. So then you found Suzanne Giesman. Say more about her.
Yeah. So I read books cover to cover and Suzanne.
You're a bookworm.
Oh my gosh. Like, you know, Scrooge McDuck, he put all those like coins in his bathtub. I put books in my bathtub. He's like, oh, you know, like, I'll never have a Kindle. I'm sorry. I'm killing trees, but I love the paper. I sniff them. I mean, it's like,
me too.
Yeah, books are special.
So do you sniff them?
Just give me a book to smell.
Yeah. We should start panning around the room at all the books that we all have surrounded.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. I love it. Yeah, so I read the book and then I wrote down like 4 or 5 different things or names I thought were interesting. I wanted to research them. And so I came across Suzanne Giesman's name and she was just starting her Shift Network course in 2019. So I took all those courses pretty much. And so
were they online courses?
Yes.
Cause I probably was in those with you.
No way.
I very well could have been in those too.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so cool.
Same thing kind of like launched me into this.
Yeah. I mean, cause they have somebody like her who's so left brained, so brilliant, so, right. And so much integrity and honesty to come into this work the way she did. And her story was like, you know what, this is okay. Cause I grew up Catholic and, you know, and I love some things about the religion. There's some things that, you know, I just don't fit me anymore. So to see mediumship and life after death and knowing that they're still right here and her book's coming out in what, a couple of days for the Awakened Way.
Yeah. Like, the Awakened Way.
Did you pre-order your copy?
No, I need to. I'm excited for it.
Do it, because there's like prizes. Like, even if you just order one cup,
oh, yay!
So do okay. it. Do it as soon as,
soon as we get off this.
Yeah. Okay. So for, I imagine a lot of our listeners will know who she is, but do either one of you want to just kind of like high level tell the story of Suzanne Giesemann and like why she was attractive to both of you? Who's going to take it?
Why don't you take it? You're our guest. Okay.
So Suzanne was, she was a Navy officer. She's a commander, and she was invited to be the Joint Chiefs of Staff's command, like her, the sergeant, like the
assistant
person
to the Joint
Assistant. Yeah, assistant, yeah. Yeah. Which is huge. And huge. She was on the plane
hanging out with George Bush.
Yeah.
Just like right at his, like right next to him.
And she knew Connie Moriano, who was like the White House doctor. And she's another amazing person that people can look up. She's like incredible woman. So anyway, so she was on Air Force One when the bombings happened with 9/11. And so she, you know, she flew over the Pentagon, landed, and she, you know, she worked there. She's to see all these, this devastation and like, well, why did this happen? How could this happen? And then she and Ty had always, you know, I think Ty, he's a Navy captain, you know, he's the captain. So he's been on the destroyers. Yeah, Ty is her husband and very comfortable on the water. So they ended up going on a sailboat to sail like across the Atlantic and just have this amazing experience. And then they got the call that Ty's daughter, her stepdaughter, had been struck and killed by lightning when she was walking across a tarmac, and she was 6 months pregnant. And so when Suzanne went to the funeral, she was just like, where does Susan go? Like, this isn't my Susan. So that was the turning point for her to like start to say, okay, I need to connect with her. I know she's somewhere, like this can't be the end. And it was revealed later that, you know, Susan kind of hung back a little bit so that Suzanne could really develop her skills and connect in such a bigger way. Because if Susan would have come in right away, like Suzanne might not have continued the skills and been such a huge force for so many people, because she would have like known it right away, kind of a thing. So that's my understanding of her story. Like through tragedy, you know, she has just had an amazing awakening, awakened millions of other people. And all through understanding that we are love and there's something more than just our physical bodies and everything like that. So
I think that's how so many of us have come to it too. I mean, for you yourself, you hit a point in work where your health was at risk and your mental health was at risk, and your husband saw that. And Jane, I know your story with your nephew Mitchell. But people don't have to go through that to get to this point too.
There's like the normal course of life, which is we die, turns out. And so, so then even like our dear parents, even if they're crossing at an age that's sort of quote unquote reasonable, it's never reasonable. It's never okay, mostly, to lose someone that we love so much. So, you know, a lot of us that are sort of like initiated, oftentimes it is a tragedy, as like an accident, like something extreme, like what Suzanne experienced and what you know, Eliza and you, Sarah, experienced. Like but it's also like, to me, what I love about being mediums now and doing the work now is offering this to people who, you know, are kind of like, I almost want to call it in the matrix. Do you know what I mean? Like in the trance of reality is only this big and only this much can happen. And so I feel like
what
half
more
the time,
is there?
Which pill is it? Are we offering the red or the blue? I can't figure, remember. I just know that we've got the other pill, y'all, or like take this, drink this. Like we're really opening up the story. Cause it's
the possibility.
Not, yeah. Cause normal
what
life
is there
is kind of boring until you start to bring on the magic.
Yeah. And I think, Karen, what I just adore about you in the short time I've known you is that attention to all the magic, like you notice it and you celebrate it. And it's so fun. And any interaction that I've had with you has just been so incredibly laced with all of these synchronicities. I booked an astrology reading with Karen Jane this past week. And she's amazing because not only is she like so studious and scientific about it and has all of the book knowledge and all of the, I'm sure you've taken so many classes about this now, about astrology. Yeah. Yeah. You're totally accredited. That's just how you roll. But yeah, you're also super intuitive. Mm. And my loved ones, and she's also a medium because we're in a medium mentorship, professional medium mentorship with Karen. That's how we've met now. She's also super intuitive. And she was bringing through little things that my grandparents would say as signs to me. And she had no idea she was doing it. She got Cracker Jacks in my reading the other day.
Wow.
Yeah. And you know what that means. She also talked about hot chocolate. Like she's channeling stuff without even knowing it. It's awesome.
That's magic.
Yeah.
You just like things just appear and you throw them in there and that person goes,
I did. It was like, oh my God, that was just a big, huge sign.
And that's the best part, you know, that it's just so natural and it's always a gift for the person. You know what I mean? Like you're the one who knows it's so cool. Like I'm just like, wah. And then it's like,
But I think you get those so easily because you are open and celebrate them in such a big way. It's just like what brings you joy.
Oh my gosh. That's the thing that I learned from Suzanne and she refers to source as joy. And so after the first class, I went downstairs in my basement. I have this butcher block paper. I was like, you know, go to the meat section, you buy meat and they wrap it in the white paper.
Yeah.
So it's like a certain height, whatever. And I used it during medical school to draw all the nerves and like the bilipid layer, like all my study for my steps that way. I drew everything out, right? Because I also have an art. I love art. And so I did this big smiley face with joy. And then I drew all these like circles around connected like this glitter glue. So I've looked at it for the past, since 2019. To remind myself, we are here for joy. Like we are joy. We need to be living in our joy. And that's what I think from Marie Manucci is she's like, okay. And I learned from her, like I have these cute little things like on my desk. I just look at, they just make me so happy. Like, you know, it's like, I just, you know, cute little, like, I mean, who couldn't be happy looking at this? Right. So like, I'm not always happy, of course, but I feel like I'm more connected to my joy now versus like 5 years ago. Because that's my priority. And 100% I'm looking for magic all the time. It's just so fun. Because then I make an email note to myself. I write it in my book. I have like this book. It's like chock full of all these things I pick up along the way when I'm walking. Like all these cool little like. I mean, it's like if my house burned down, I would run and grab that before anything else. Because like I don't want to forget these amazing moments, you know?
So wait, I happen to have a little context for that little book that you just flashed for us, but tell our listeners more about, we actually kind of referenced you in a recent episode too, Karen. We were talking about how you journal and you celebrate magic, but can you just tell us more and like maybe for those who don't look on YouTube, describe a little bit of your beautiful book.
Oh, absolutely. So I started this this one's only 2022. But like, for example, on this particular page, I have a feather and I have some like glittery tinsel. Like, you know, like girls have like on their, or boys have on their bikes and like when they ride their bike, it flutters kind of thing. So the total eclipse day, my husband and I took a walk. And we were at like a restaurant. We took a walk just for fun. And I found this glitter and it was shining in the grass. I'm like, ooh, this is special. So I picked it up and a bird feather and I wrote it down. That was on the 8th. And then the next day I was running probably like 3 or 4 miles away from that location. And it was a 6 miler. I was out in nature. It was beautiful. And I found like 2 more pieces of that glitter. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is such a God wink, you know? And I felt like it was because it's about sparkling. It's about connecting to our joy and our joy can be anywhere we look. And I just, and I knew the eclipse was super important for so many different reasons. Like for me, it was like, I was in the path of totality. It was right on my Mercury, like the exact degree and minute of the eclipse was my Mercury, which is like so cool. It's all about perceptions and communications and things like that. So I've started this book I tape in all sorts of things, like a tape, like scotch tape, you know, anything that catches my eye that I feel like is important. And then I go back and look at it every now and then. I'm like, wow, that's what this was kind of about, you know, because I don't always know in the moment. So that's the fun kind of a thing. So that's like my joy journal. I just, you know, and I have a second
one. Joy journal, yeah.
And this one's more like I just write in it. Like these are all like, this reading went this way, or, you know, well, for example, like the other day when we had a practice session, I had eggs in a basket come up and that didn't quite resonate right away. And I was like, that was interesting. And I was watching the X-Files last night. And during the episode, he's like, y'all, the eggs in a basket. I'm like, what?
Ding, 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 ding.
Like, I think the universe knows, like I love looking for patterns. I was in emergency medicine. So like you look for patterns. I'm an astrologer, look for patterns. The universe speaks to me through patterns and numbers. Of course, I love the 11-11s and like all those juicy, amazing things you just don't even know. It's like, oh my God, it's that time. I love those numbers too. And I love synchronicity. I love that feeling that you get when it's something like, oh, I saw that. I got it, you guys, because now I'm getting it. And it's like, thank you, might have some more, you know, just like keep bringing it because that's what lights me up.
And that's what happens. It's when you notice them and you celebrate them, you get them more and more. And there are those ones that, like, Jane, you always talk about the triple play. It's like you see one. And then you notice it, and then you see the second one, okay. And then the third one, you expect, and there it is. Home run. It's awesome.
It's like flying in.
I love that.
Oh, man, that's so beautiful.
Will you tell us how you ended up doing astrology then?
My sister got me a reading for my 40th birthday. I'd never had a reading before. I mean, when you're little, you look at the horoscopes, you know, it's interesting to me, right? But this guy sat down with me and he's like, I'm like, where did you come from? Were you like spying on me? You were in my head. I'm like, how could you know me like this? It was just kind of strange. And then it intrigued me. But then when I went to Canyon Ranch, I went to Canyon Ranch twice. I went back 2 years later and I had an astrology reading with somebody there because I was more open to it. And she's like, you need to be in the metaphysical world. You need to be dabbling in this stuff. You should really consider studying astrology, like looking at my chart and all these things. So I'm like, all right. So I signed up for this, like, you know, American Federation of Astrology. It's like really dry, but super interesting. Like, I mean, it was like, so that was my beginning of it. But then I took Deborah Silverman's course. She's into like the elemental part of it. And so it really made astrology come alive for me. So it's like, super fun. I met amazing people through there. And now I'm in Stephen Forrest's evolutionary astrology program. I'm in his 200 level course. I'm also studying astrology with Michael Bryan. He's a traditional astrologer. So it's very different from modern astrology. And I'm learning like traditional astrology plus medical astrology. So in the past, since I've really started studying in 2019, but I would say in earnest, like the past couple of years, just kind of like cramming all this stuff in my brain. So it's so fun.
Because you just have such a big, beautiful brain.
Yeah. That brain
does
not
have the capacity to hold it all.
It's never going to be quiet.
I'm a perfectionist. Like and that's the thing I approach. Like, that's the thing. I went into medical school and like, gosh forbid I would do something wrong. First do no harm was like the creed for everything. And you do it for a mediumship, everything like that. Right. But it was like, I approach things so seriously. I'm like, I don't want to say something wrong and, you know, get it, you know, so it's such a thing for me. It's a thing I'm working through because it's like, you know, I mean.
Well, mediumship will be really good for you for that.
There's no perfection in mediumship.
No, not at all. Like once you're comfortable with the astrology, then.
The mess is available for you.
Yes. Yeah. Because there is no like absolute black and white definitive answers with mediumship. It's very inspirational and metaphorical. And that was something I kind of want to pick your brain about. So we live in this culture that is, I mean, 3D, we can talk about that, but very materialistic. And the medical system is based on physical science, which is also 3D. So anything that is 5D, where you're using your multisensory perceptions, you know, that's considered woo-woo and it's completely discredited and not seen as intellectual. And obviously the three of us understand that energy is real, that we can perceive subtle energy. What do you What do you have to say about, is there, and astrology, astrologically, can you tell us if there's going to ever be a time where we do merge the 3D and the 5D, the materialistic and the energy worlds?
Well, I think we're always evolving. And right now, allopathic medicine with fixing our, like, I feel like we're kind of like mechanics in a way. But the more we can embrace and understand that Eastern medicine or energy medicine or these complementary arts have something really vital to put to the puzzle, right? Because it's like, when we start to understand that we have energy bodies that very closely align to, you know, ganglions and plexus of our nerve centers that are kind of like near the chakras. Ooh, isn't that interesting? These people who had no idea about these things millions or thousands of years ago figured this out. It's amazing. I think, and so, like, I was thinking about when you were talking about Dr. I think it's Shania Jain, J-A-I-N. And she's actually started to do some research. She was looking at breast cancer survivors, and it's like, people don't realize how exhausted people are after chemotherapy and like the surgeries and whatever. So she was looking at, they did swabs of like cortisol levels in their mouth, and they did energy healing versus a sham. Like, actually, like, the thing is, the problem is, right now we're in this like double blind, placebo controlled science. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she's speaking to about this is, you know, that's the left brain, like, break it all down, label it, deconstruct it. The right brain is more like the community orientation. How's this all come together? And so the energy healing and things like that are more on this level. And so we don't have the diagnostic tools, or, you know, we've been put the effort in, I feel like, in some ways to validate this part of science. So I had listened to a talk by her, and she was really starting to, I feel like she's kind of bridging that gap, and like the whole gap between science and spirituality. As humans evolve, they start to realize, okay, like, we have these amazing abilities that, you know, the Industrial Revolution or whatever kind of kicked to the side because we became so focused on the science. The pendulum has to swing back. And so I feel like with the whole idea of like quantum entanglement now, and like physics is really starting to like broaden the quantum ideas of things, I think that the people who are gifted in science, because ultimately a good scientist asks a question. They ask a question and they try to like prove it or disprove it. They have a hypothesis, and how well is your experiment designed? And here's the thing, they have this like fudge number for all these things that like Lynn Taggart talks about in the quantum field, you know? And it's like, okay, what is that? And I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Interstellar, but I love that movie. It is like one of my all-time favorite movies. Because it's like, so I do believe at some point the two will intertwine. Right now, I think where we kind of are, we totally need both. And I feel like if we could get them to work together, because I feel like preventative could be so much, the energy healing, the astrology, like all these different things we can do to help people understand themselves and work through mediumship, all those things. Right. So I feel like it's up and coming, because if you look at social media or these different apps, there's like astrology apps now, and there's like, you know, I mean, very soul, right? I mean, like a medium could be like, versus like, do you have a friend of a friend of a friend who could tell me about someone who could like help me? So I feel like this is becoming more and more, do you know, it's like, and people who are like, who are mainstream.
Available.
Yeah. So I think we'll get there.
That's exciting.
There's a prediction.
Makes me happy. That's what we need. Yeah. So what would you have to say to people who are the big doubters, the big
skeptics
out there? Because you must have, they must be, you know, your former colleagues, what did they think about your new profession?
You know, that's a good question, because I haven't really been in touch with them much, so I don't know. You know what I did? I got out of there and went, you know, like I was like,
you ran.
They kind of knew I was doing this stuff, and I, you know, some of the nurses knew. Like, what's this about? You know, and I just kind of told them, you know, and people might think I'm a little strange, and that's great, because if I can just get you to think, if I can think about, okay, well, why is that offensive to me, or why does that strike me as odd? just even have you question some of those things, because everybody's at a different level. And I guess I always kind of think about too, like, you know, when we do die and go beyond the veil and we get to know everything, I want to be on the side of love and exploration and all that kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to hold myself back because Joe Schmo thinks I'm a weirdo, you know, like that's not going to rain on my parade, you know, like, so.
Yes, absolutely.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. You want to be on the side of love. Yeah. So you're willing to kind of face whatever opinions or adversary you might encounter because you're on the side of love.
Yeah, because I mean, love doesn't push back. I mean, love flows through everything. And I feel like, you know, it's hard for me because I was really Catholic. I was, you know, I thought about being a nun at one point in my life, and I love the ritual, and I just, you know, and this, I just, and so when I kind of left the Catholic Church, it was like, you know, it was sad on some levels, but it was so expansive because now I get to think for myself, you know, like I have the values I have. I still love God. I still love Jesus. I still love the saints. Like they're still in my heart or whatever. Right. But the human part of it is kind of out of the mix. So I kind of feel like now, like, of course I'm still going to help my neighbor. I'm still going to do good things for people. I'm still going to, but I didn't need to be under that confinement container of a belief that was, you know, so.
Wasn't Janet Nohavik a Catholic nun?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think so. She's the Journey Within. Karen mentioned her earlier, or that church earlier. And she was like my first teacher. So I took a class from her way back in. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was part of my charm with her. It was like, well, shoots, if she was Catholic and had the courage, you know, a Catholic nun, and had the courage to say, wait, this is really happening, and I'm going to step out of that very rigid system that has a very, like, not exciting opinion of this, you know, and then she's sort of, to me, she was like the first Suzanne Giesman. So, and that's, I think, why we're really excited to talk to you too, Karen, is because you stepped out of like a very scientific, you know, obviously fact-based, and like you said, the allopathic medicine is just not so much aligned with this, but to your prediction, our favorite astrologer, it's coming. I had another question for you about the leap, like when you made the leap out of your career, because I did something similar recently.
Oh yeah, you did. I call them leaps of faith. You ladies took some leaps of faith into new careers.
Yeah. Like I stopped breathing just as I said that. I'm still doing it. But I'm curious just if you can speak to that, like, how was that for you? And like, when you look back, how do you feel about it? You know, just talk about your leap.
Yeah. So my leap was June 22nd of 2022. And I came home and I had my dogs in the front yard. I just laid in the grass on my back and I looked up at the sky. I just had this feeling of just freedom. Like it was, I was ready. I really feel like things happen for us, not necessarily to us. And I kind of feel like if I hadn't done it when I did, I had some like hints, like, you know how you get like the puff ball that gets your eye. It's like, oh, that's pretty. And if you don't do something, and then you get like the smack, you know, like, like, I mean, like it was getting to the point where I was going to be like, you know, so I knew that it was the right time for me. And so then it was, I'm not a business person really. I mean, I just don't have those skills. You know, I've always worked for somebody, you know, so that's been an interesting shift. I love working from home. Oh my stars. Like just to be with my dogs and my husband. And I realize I really, I'm an extroverted introvert. I love my home. I love just, you know what I mean? So it's like, wow, like I feel good every day. You know, and my sleep scores are like between 90 and 97% every night. So I used to like sleep shifts, you know, like I really had a hard time sleeping because I would do night shift, day shift, whatever. So that leap was worth my health because I feel like my mental health is amazing. I feel like my body health is amazing. Now I'll be completely honest with you. I paid off my med school loans and my house. Like, I was financially responsible, right? Cause I was like the breadwinner, right? I mean, it's, you know, but it's interesting being an entrepreneur and like going from somebody giving you a check for your skills to like, I have to like mark up myself or do these different things and stuff. So I was kind of talking to one of my friends about it. She's like, well, you know why they have like those landing strips so long? It like takes a while to get momentum and take the plane. The plane takes a while to get the momentum to take off, kind of a thing. So she's like, give yourself some time. Because I'm like, Mitch, maybe I should go work at Costco or something. Or like, whatever. But then I think about how amazingly abundant I am every day. Like, I used to be such a control person. I was very type A, you know, and so for me to actually trust and know, like, anytime I think about, well, maybe I should just go back and do some urgent care or do some telehealth, immediate clench in my stomach. Like, don't even do it, girl. So I'm like, okay, no problem. You know, like, I just need to trust that. And so then you talk to your team. You're like, okay, like, I need help getting this and connecting to that. And these are lessons I'm learning in this lifetime. And may my lessons be as painless as possible, right? That's what Susan says. Let it work. All right. So yeah, I'm really glad I did it. Super scary though. Super scary, you know, 100%, 1000%. And it's funny because I still have family members and friends that ask me medical questions. So it's like right there. I'm like, oh, I haven't lost it yet. Yay. So my brain still works that way because it's amazing. And I'm so grateful for that. And yeah, I'm like, I'm the one who gets up on the plane and helps the people who pass out. And, you know, I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, it's no problem. I'm happy with it. No worries, you know, but it was such, it was so much responsibility, and it was, the healthcare system is so broken. And like doing those two, three years of COVID was just insane. So it's just like, you know, it's kind of like PTSD in a way. I'm like, oh, I don't think I want to think about that anymore. Cause it's like, it's gone, you know, and I learned so much from it, but it's like, yeah. So I think I don't regret anything. And I'm so grateful that I did that. And I'm to learn that kind of trust and to know that I'm cared for, I'm loved, the universe wants me to succeed. You know, my husband 100% supports me. You know, I can't ask for anything more than that. So I'm just really grateful.
Oh, we're so grateful you've come on the show.
Yes.
What? And everybody, go get a reading from It's Stardust Guru, right? So good. I loved my reading.
And what a great name. And next time you come on, we'll have to unpack that amazing name that you picked for yourself.
Yes.
Aw. Well, so what an amazing journey. Thank you, Karen, for being with us and sharing your wisdom and your joy. You know, it's so funny. Right before you said joy journal, I wrote down joy journal. Like, I think this is a joy journal. And then you said it. I was like, yeah, that's what it is. And I think that we'd already like talked about you in a previous episode. So like you've already impacted your reverberations are moving through the universe and you're a force for good. And it's an honor to sit with you. So thanks for coming on and spending time with us.
Yay.
It's been an absolute pleasure. All right. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. See you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Paging Dr. Joy.
Oh my gosh. She's so great. I love her.
She truly is a joy. She's just like sparkles like come out of her face. She's incredible.
She is.
So, hey, listeners, something else before we go. As you know, we love you.
But do you love us?
If you do, would you be so kind as to download your episodes by clicking subscribe or follow or subscribe, one of the two? And then also maybe drop us a rating. What do you think?
Please.
There's a mom of three. What do you say? Please.
And we'll see you next week. Love you.
Love you. Love everyone else. Bye.
Bye.
Medium Curious is made possible
by Jane Morgan Editing.
Sarah Rathke made the amazing music.
And Gigi Hawkins, podcast consultant.
Mix by podcast engineers. Our logo was created by Eric Allen.
Kyle Hansen McKee, photography.
And the dogs under the desk in Hawaii are Kalea and Domino.
And Trixie in California.